let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. During World War II, Doreen Lampone's father was a soldier in a reconnaissance unit. During a mission in Cologne, Germany, he was captured by the German army, held as a prisoner of war. He was not only held in terrible conditions, but also made to march hundreds of miles between various camps. Through all of this, he managed to keep hidden a diary of his experiences during this time period. Should the diary have been found, it would have cost him his life. Still, he took that chance. A wartime log, Diary of a Prisoner of War by Peter William Subi, is his story, edited and compiled by his daughter. Doreen did not find out until later in life that he was a prisoner of war and had kept a secret diary. The book is a record of his daily encounters during the war, insight into what happened during these times. A wartime log, Diary of a Prisoner of War by Peter William Subi, recipient, by the way, the book at the Plume Award for Literary Excellence, edited and compiled by his daughter and our guest on This Week in America, Doreen Subi Lampone, is our guest on the program. Doreen, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thank you, Rick. Thanks so much for inviting me.
It is our pleasure. There is so much in the diary that your father was able to keep. I know that you've had the diary for a while. At what point did you realize you really wanted to share this, publish it, and make it available to the public?
Almost immediately when I realized about it, I just thought, especially for my own family to all have their own copy, to me, that was the most important thing for, you know, any of my family members, that, you know, cousins, aunts, uncles, you know, my immediate family, my brother's family. I just wanted that to be able to have something to pass down of what events took place. So really, that's basically it. I really did want to publish it. And I've tried for years to different avenues to try and have it a possibility. But until I was on with the Writers Republic, I actually finally get to do this.
And it has to be so rewarding for you. The book, as Doreen mentioned, is available at writersrepublic.com. We'll have that link on our website so you can go there, get information on the book, A Wartime Log, Diary of a Prisoner of War. How does it feel to finally have this done and be able to tell your father's story? This is really such an important piece of history told from someone who lived it. What's it feel like to have this finally accomplished?
Well, especially in today's times, I just think that the younger population, they don't really seem to realize what our country has went through to get it to the point that it is right now, the great country we are still and always, and just to keep it that way. They don't realize what the younger people of their age at that time gave up to, you know, fight for our country, to keep it free, to keep it the best country in the world, and all those things like that. It's just finally great to have it out. Even though it took a whole year to do it, I never thought it was going to finish. So I was like, you know, I like to get excited when something's finally done. And thank goodness through all the error and trials, it's all done and out there, and people are buying it. And I'm just so happy and thrilled that people are going to get to hear his story. And I'm sure other stories like his from those times of people being captured and prisoner of war, even like as far as like Anne Frank, how she was kept,
yes,
during that same type of situation, and she was kept secret for 2 years. And, you know, all this is affects the free country we have today.
You know, it's amazing in reading reviews, people that never knew you, knew your father, suddenly they're getting, again, a slice of history through his eyes, what he went through. The book is A Wartime Log, Diary of a Prisoner of War, the story of Peter William Subi, his diary, edited and compiled by his daughter, Doreen Subi Lampone. What does it mean to you to actually be able to share your father's story? I know this started just maybe sort of a close family members getting it out there. Now it's worldwide. People are able to feel that, like, they know your father going through what he writes in his diary. What's this like to be able to share your father and his story?
Well, the feedback that I got, I actually posted it the day that I knew that my family members that didn't know they were getting it that I sent it out to. Once I realized that they got it and had it, then I could put it on a Facebook for my other family, like cousins and things of that sort. It was great feedback. Everyone went on immediately to buy the book. They were touched at the story that my father wrote. It actually gives you an insight to how he really felt. And even for myself, he actually seemed like he kept his humor through all the times that he went through and all the hardships and stuff. He seemed to keep, a level head and try to think positive and, things of that sort. So it was very, very, very rewarding that everybody gets to hear a story and my family got to hear the story, and great feedback, really awesome feedback. So I'm very happy about all that.
Tell us a little bit about what your father went through. I mentioned in the beginning the terrible conditions, the marching food, all of this. Just give us a glimpse of what he went through during this period, because you hear prisoner of war, but you don't really understand that until you read something like your father's diary that, like, realize how atrocious, how terrible, how horrible those conditions were.
Sure. So he's got two parts. He's actually got a daily log, and it's kind of whimsical, and it doesn't shed a lot of hardships as much in the daily, because he's trying to keep it more talking about what the food was like, where the camps are. But when you get to the second part, where it's the summary of a prisoner of war, that's where you really get to see the hardships of what happened. He said that they barely, you have to remember too, Germany did not have a lot of food either. That's part of the reason why they lost, because they didn't have enough food to feed their own people. So therefore, they seem to be nice people. It's just the effects of war, what happens. But he said they barely kept them alive because they had to do work. Like, they worked in the fields, digging up potatoes and covering potatoes and a lot of stuff about potatoes, because that was their only main staple that they had. But all the hardships of not enough clothing that he still had, as he was a small guy, my father, tiny. And so the clothes that they issued initially were way too big for him. So his friends all got a kick out of that, because everything was huge on him. He was only 5'4". And his clothes were big. They weren't warm. There wasn't a coat for him that first round. So they were working out in the fields. And thank goodness that you would get warmed up from working hard, just like a person that jogs today or whatever.
Yes.
You get warmed up from, you expending your energy and things of that sort. So, and then there's a part in the beginning also, he was switched around to different different camp sites to go for the Stalags. And just how they were being tossed around in here, and they didn't understand what was going on in the beginning. Of course, they were all frightened. He had just lost a lot of his friends. And they did, once they got to the one camp site, they marched one day, and they didn't tell them the truth. They marched the first day for like 27 miles in shoes that didn't even fit him right. They marched another day for like one of the actual German soldiers that was their sergeant. He actually died because he was older and he couldn't handle all the walking. They would walk the next day for like 40 miles. So they were walking from morning till night, just an enormous amount of walking. And then the other part in there that really struck me is that when they were being taken on boxcars, they were all piled in there so tightly. They didn't realize they'd actually be on that boxcar or in the boxcar for 3 days without getting out, where they couldn't even lay down. They had to scrunch up and sit together. So you can imagine what was going on in there in 3 days' time and the conditions that they had to live through. So that's just the part that actually kind of gets you interested in maybe wanting to read the book.
Yeah, they just several of the stories you'll find in the book, A Wartime Log, Diary of a Prisoner of War, kept by Peter William Sooby. If you're Googling that, Sooby is Sooby, edited and compiled by Doreen Sooby Lampone, our guest on the program. Book's available at writersrepublic.com. You've got a link for that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Did your dad talk much about, with you, with the family, about his experiences during that part of his life?
No, not at all. In fact, My mom said he really didn't talk about the war at all because he saw so much. I knew one part that he did not put in the diary where one of his buddies had his head up, and I don't want to say what happened, but it upset him tremendously. So he really was very quiet about it. He had nightmares in the beginning. My mom said that this is mostly a lot also from my brother 6 years older, saying that he would shout out in his sleep and things of that sort. And so he really kept it quiet. And I was the baby. There was just the two of us. And like I said, he was 6 years older. So by the time I realized, I was probably in my 30s before I even realized that he had it. He might have shared that with a few other people, maybe his brothers or something like that. He often didn't let anybody else read it till towards the end of his life. He did die pretty young at 72. But another thing that I know we touch on in here is that he did have effects from he was only 89 pounds when he actually was released because he's, like I said, he was a small guy. They didn't really have hardly anything to eat, even though he talks about food constantly and he always loved food. So he did develop Crohn's disease when I was only in high school, which he was in the hospital one time for 3 months because of that. And they said it was from the conditions that he went in when he was a prisoner of war, that it can actually bring on diverticulitis and that type of thing, which he ended up developing as he got somewhat older, not really old, but you know, yes. He was in his 40s and I'm a teenager. So
something that obviously persisted and was a difficult part of his life that he had to deal with after the war. You talk in the book, or he talks in the book that you've edited and compiled, Doreen Subi Lampone, our guest on the program, that faith was a really important part of getting through the ordeal. Talk about that, how that impacted him during the war and after the war as well.
I think his mother really had a great faith, and I think she was a born-again Christian, my father's mother. He didn't talk about it a lot, but when I was reading the book, of course, too, I could see how much every day he would go back and read his prayers and just, you know, I'm sure they had different chaplains before he was a prisoner and, you know, would talk to them about faith. And he's very strong. I feel like the Subi family, we have very strong, just strong character and just strong people. And we're always about the way he was raised during the Depression. So another thing, you know, before he went into war, that you just become very strong person. Your ability to cope is very strong. And that's what I think that a lot of younger people, they don't realize what struggles that our countries went through, what we've went through, what's made us strong as a country. And it's really important to read these historical diaries and stories to see really what shaped us into this country that we are, or the world we are, even, as a matter of fact.
This is not a Hollywood sort of version of what happened and glamorized to an extent and maybe just in the presentation. This is real life. This is what Peter William Subi
Correct.
Went through his experiences as a prisoner of war, his diary. The book is a wartime log, diary of a prisoner of war, recipient of the Plume Award for Literacy of Excellence. Let's talk about relationships. You mentioned in with a number of people, close quarters with a number of people. Did he have any lasting relationships with those that he was in captivity with?
Well, before I was born, and with the diary, my mom said he did keep in contact with a few. I put everything that he had in his folder in the diary. I keep it in a strong box, of course, the original. But there's pictures in there of different friends, and he had all their addresses, and he did keep in contact with them. And it does talk about there, once they were not a prisoner, they were supposed to the next year at a certain time send each other, you know, a certain memento for them to look at, or a card or a letter or something of that sort. But he did keep in contact for a long time. And I was little, so I really didn't, you know, remember all that. And that's something that he probably would have discussed with me. But like I said, I didn't really learn or him really even talk about it till Like I said, I was later in my 30s, yes. And I just knew that it was just intriguing to me. Even one part where my dad was already gone, I took the one part on Christmas Eve, the part where he actually does a daily writing. The one part that was Christmas Eve and the next day, I actually went, surprised everybody on Christmas, where I sent out Christmas cards to my father's brothers and his one sister. He had a big family. There was 10 of them. What I did was had it copied, and they all were just brought tears to their eyes about what he was thinking back then. And, you know, it was maybe 20 years after he was a prisoner or more that they got this. But actually, it was probably back in the 80s. I'm sorry. So it was a way long after that time, or in the 90s. Yes. If I correct myself, it would have been in the 90s that I would have sent that out. So it was really cool, and I could just picture myself watching a little play on Broadway of just the scene setting Christmas Eve with all the guys getting together, what they're talking about, you know, while they're prisoners, and then the next day celebrating Christmas. So it was a joyous occasion for all of them, even though they were in those circumstances. It was something that they were still taking pleasure in doing and trying to make the best of what they had to work with and the times that they were in, and thankful for what they did have, that they were alive.
Time is going by so quickly. With us on the program is Doreen Subi Lampone. She edited and compiled her father's diary, A Wartime Log, Diary of a Prisoner of War is the name of the book. It's available at writersrepublic.com. Death plays such a prominent role in what your father went through. And he wrote about losing those that he really cared about. Was that something you think that stayed with him throughout his life, those memories that I'm sure you just can't shake?
Absolutely. I mean, that's something that you will never forget your whole life. Things that dramatic and traumatic, I'm sorry, that those things would actually be something you would actually see in your lifetime. No one would ever expect that you could live through it or actually go through it or see the things that you saw. You just, it's actually unimaginable.
What was it like for your father when he was able to return and come home to his country and come home to his family? What was that like for him, do you think?
Well, since I wasn't born yet, but the thing is that I can see what he talked about every night is, I can't wait for next year to pray that I'm home with my family and my little boy, which was my brother Howard, and my mom. I mean, you know, to be with his wife, my mother Lorraine. So he was anxious to see his own mother and his siblings and, you know, just getting together. And like growing up as a daughter of my dad, we always got together with his family at Christmas time and holidays. And it was just such a great fun. My father's brothers and my aunt, they were just so much fun to be with. They always were laughing and just always just very loving. So to me, I'm sure those were the important parts that my father was always thinking about when he was captured in a way. And his brother, he didn't even realize. See, his brother, Cy, was actually captured. He was a paratrooper at the same time, but my father didn't realize it. And it's in the diary also, talks about how he ran into him before he came home. So it was just so weird that all those thousands and thousands of prisoners, and he ran into his own brother. So he does talk about that in the diary, and I'm so happy that people will be able to purchase and be able to see all that was going on and all that happened.
And they can do that right now. WritersRepublic.com is the website to go to. The book is A Wartime Log, Diary of a Prisoner of War. A couple of minutes left in the program. You touched on a little bit the physical ramifications that impacted the rest of his life. Talk about that and maybe the psychological, the mental aspect of it as well. That's really something that there was no separation, was there? He carried a lot of that over into his life when he returned home.
Yeah, absolutely. He did. He was a quiet man. My father was a quiet man. He was a thinker. So, you know, I didn't know at the time. I just knew I had a Donna Reed type life, and my parents actually were fortunate enough to actually buy a summer home down the Jersey Shore at Long Beach Island. So I didn't know that was anything special until I got older in my life, but it was great time. So, and he talked about food a lot in the book, My father, even though he's a little guy, and I am the same way, as passionate about food as my dad was. He loves food. He enjoyed it. And because he was a prisoner, my mom told me that we will never suffer on our table. We will always have the best of everything. And that's how I grew up. I had everything growing up. I missed out on nothing. We had everything. We had lamb and steak and lobster and shrimp and whatever my father could afford to buy. And I never knew anything different. We always had great meals. Food was a huge part of his life. He totally enjoyed it, just like I do. So to him, food, I did take that trade after him, and I'm so happy I did, because that's how I met my new husband of 18 years, so it's not really new, but we both are passionate about food, and my father was very passionate about life and food.
18 years is still new. Don't let it get old. 18 years is still new. You treat it like it's new every day, and it sounds like that's exactly how you go about everything in life. I'm going to take a few seconds here just at the end to talk about memories of your father, some that really stick out. And you've mentioned those with the Christmas and the food and really pleasant memories of your dad and what life was like with him. What are some of the memories that come to mind?
Just always the happy times on holidays, or just the fun things that I think of that, I did with my mom and dad. They were great people. Like I said, I feel like I grew up in the Donna Reed home. My brother was older, so I was by myself playing a lot. We lived on a street where there was only a few girls to play with. And, I really entertained myself a lot, because I just did. And we weren't really complainers. We weren't really the type. My parents never taught me that aspect of being a complainer or feeling like that the world owed me anything. We always were hard workers. My father was a hard worker. I was a hard worker. My father's brothers were all hard workers. So I know that he instilled those on my brother and myself, that, you got to work hard for what you get and take pride in what you have. I've always cherished things that I have. I still kept things from a little girl, and people are always amazed, but I always felt to take care of things that you have like that. Make sure you take care of the things that are important to you in life, and people are important. Your family is important. Just those things. That's what I take from both my mother and father. And just that when I even read my father's diary, and of course I'm editing it like so many times, I reread it and reread it and reread it for everything and the punctuation and all that I realized how much he did. He actually even joked a little bit in there, even with all the hard times he was going through. He kept a sense of humor somewhat. So it was an insight for me as well, because I knew my father was quiet and he was stern, very stern guy. He always said, you better not, or you're going to get it. Well, I didn't know what it was, but I didn't want it. So
yes, they wanted to find out.
I was always a good girl.
Anyway, well, say it worked.
He may never touch me.
I was going to say, he may not have known what it was, but sometimes when dads say it, exactly. Okay, we're not going to test him here.
Exactly.
Yep, whatever that is. I don't want to find out. And truth is, dads don't want to find out either, so it works out well for everybody.
No, he would never have done that. And he really cherished, I have three sons, and he also has, my brother has a daughter and a son, and he cherished his grandchildren. And he actually had one great grandchild too at the time before he died, my nephew's, my niece's son, David. So he had all those great grandchildren. I mean, I meant as far as they were great.
Yes.
He loved his grandchildren.
Yes.
And one great grandchild. So they did get to appreciate their grandchildren and really enjoy those times spent together.
Well, you've done such an excellent
job. So I know it's fond memories for my brother and I and his
daughter.
And his daughter, Donna, and my nephew, Ricky, and my three sons, Rob, Pete, and Christian. So they all really appreciate everything and every moment they spent with my dad and my mom.
Well, you're sharing those years that your father was in war in the book, his book, actually, A Wartime Log, Diary of a Prisoner of War, his thoughts, his words as he went through those horrific experiences. Peter William Sooby, that's S-O-O-B-Y. And our guest on the program has been his daughter, Doreen Sooby Lampone. She edited and compiled the book, A Wartime Log. The book's available at writersrepublic.com. Doreen, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program to talk about the book, The Labor of Love, and in getting this book together, getting it out there, and sharing your father's life and his thoughts and what he went through with everyone. Thank you for being with us on the program to tell the story.
Absolutely, my pleasure. You've been a dream. Thanks, Rick, so much for your time and patience. Hopefully I did a good job.
You did an excellent job. And the book is available, again, at Writers Republic, A Wartime Log, Diary of a Prisoner of War. Peter William Subi, edited, compiled by our guest, Doreen Subi Lampone. And you can find all the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.